Chapter 24. The Advantages of Being Self-Employed. In the previous chapter, I mentioned ways and means by which young people might get into business for themselves. I also mentioned some of the many advantages of being self-employed. Since this is a rather broad subject and involves more than just young people, I want to cover the ground a little more thoroughly in this chapter. It is important in the white man's struggle to regain control of his own destiny that he own and gain control of as many businesses as possible. At present, the Jew overwhelmingly dominates the business field, as he does so many other nerve centers of power. I believe the advantages of controlling your own business have not been clearly pointed out to the white man before, since most of the propaganda that we read is written by Jews. They know the importance of owning businesses, and far be it from them to encourage the white man to go into competition with them any more than they can help it. Using deception to the utmost in both education and in propaganda, they keep talking about jobs only. One of the attributes of having your own business is the healthier mental attitude that you thereby achieve. Certainly having your own business generates more pride and confidence in yourself than being an employee under the direction of somebody else. There is the story of the little old man who had a newsstand in some big city and spent practically all his time at that store. When asked why he spent so much time there, he replied, "It's all mine, and I can do as I please. I get more pleasure out of running my own little store than I do anything else. That's why I spend so much time here." When you build your own business, you are in a way a creator. You are doing a creative job of building and fashioning a living organization that is not only productive, but also profitable. As the business expands and gets larger, there is a definite satisfaction attached to it that you are a productive and creative segment of our society. As a pillar of the community, in owning a business, you carry a great deal of prestige and respect, something that you have justifiably earned. Certainly, the income you can make from building and expanding your own business is, in most instances, far superior to what you could earn by putting in the same amount of time and effort working for somebody else. I have always said that certainly you are worth twice as much to yourself than to the company you may be working for. Statistics show that the self-employed businessman certainly makes a much better income than the average employee. And in thousands and hundreds of thousands of cases, the sky is the limit. Without a doubt, your chances of becoming a millionaire working for someone else are very slim. Whereas most businessmen that did become millionaires did so through owning their own business. We hear so much about the advantages of working for a big corporation, and one of those most frequently cited is the retirement pension that you might get when you have faithfully and dutifully worked for the company for the last 40 years, and when at 65 you are finally put out to pasture. Living as I did in South Florida on the Gold Coast and witnessing a large number of retirees, I would say that the prospects awaiting you when you are retired from a large company are not nearly as rosy as many have assumed over all these years. For one thing, a man, as he gets older, likes to taper off in his working activities, but he does not necessarily want to quit altogether. When you work for a big corporation and you are approaching 60 or 65, you are presumably in a high salary bracket. Therefore, the company does not want to, nor can it afford to, have you slow down and produce less than you used to. In fact, because of your higher salary, they expect you to produce more than you did before and assume more responsibilities than ever. Then finally comes the day when you reach 65 and you retire. The cutoff is sudden and drastic. Frankly, many businessmen who have been with a large company over the most active 40 years of their lives find the sudden change quite a shock. It is not the rosy enchantment they had expected. To many, it is a hard adjustment to make. In many cases, they feel lost and don't know what to do with their time. Too often, shortly thereafter, instead of enjoying what they thought would be their golden years, their health fails and they die. In many cases, the biggest contribution towards the failure of their health was the psychological change. It is different if you have your own business. Most men who went into business on their own when they were in their early 20s will have built a substantial business in 40 years, often in less than 10 years. By the time they reach 60, they are usually wealthy and independent. They have their chain of command and management pretty well established, so that they can come and go as they please. They can work as little or as much as they want to, and their business carries on. Invariably, they prefer to stay in the management of it long past the age of 60 or 65. In fact, many of them stay in it in their 70s and 80s and enjoy every minute of it. Another advantage that self-employment provides is family stability. When you work for a large company, they seem to have a nasty habit of moving you every few years to a different plant somewhere across the country, thus uprooting you from your established home, from your friends, and from the many contacts that you have established. This includes a break from your clubs, from the schools your children go to, from your home, and many other established contacts you have made. In the case of the established business, not only does the family have the opportunity to sink down roots in their own area, an area usually of their choice, but these roots are many times perpetuated for two or three and more generations. Such stability is further reinforced by peace of mind that you need have no fear of being laid off. You are in charge and you are in control of your fortunes and your destiny. You do not have to be afraid of your boss hiring one of his relatives to replace you. You have peace of mind that you need not be a victim of political maneuvering, or that you may lose your job because somebody else who wanted it butted up the boss in your absence. When you own your business, you are the boss and your job is whatever you make it, and it lasts as long as you want it to. You can work at your own pace and you can shape your job so that your talents can be utilized to the best of their ability. When it comes to taking vacations, you have several advantages. 1. You can choose the time according to when you want to go. 2. You can expand it to whatever length you want. 3. You can take as many as you want throughout the year, providing, of course, that you are still taking good care of your business. 4. You can plan your vacations in such a way that they can be written off as a business expense. For instance, you might want to go to Hawaii and set up a dealership there, or establish a business outlet, or negotiate a deal. In any case, the opportunity to mix business with the kind of vacation you want is almost unlimited. Not only can vacations be treated in this way, but in many cases, you can also combine recreational activities with your business. For instance, you might want to join a yacht club or a country club and charge it off as a business expense. This you might be able to do because you might be utilizing such memberships as a valuable means of establishing business contacts. Another gratifying advantage of having a business of your own is that you can very often train your own children to take over the management and thereby transfer to the next generation, namely your own children, the family business, while you yourself, nevertheless, still keep an active hand in the control of it. Thereby, it becomes a family enterprise that you can see growing and expanding, something that is perpetuated into future generations. This can be a most rewarding satisfaction indeed. By so doing, you establish closer family ties and a wider community identity. You have the assurance that upon your death, your business will not be usurped by some grasping Jew, but will already be firmly in the hands of your children who have, over the years, been trained in its management. By owning your own business, you can make many contributions to your community. You can establish scholarships. You can sponsor a boys' little league baseball team. You can pursue research in technology in certain lines that interest you. Or you can pursue any other of a dozen different outlets. Financially, you are flexible in so many different ways that you are not in a salary job. Should we have a drastic inflationary rise, the value of your business, the real estate that it is on, and buildings all increase accordingly. As your business progresses, You are continually building up the equity of the business itself, something that is not necessarily subject to the confiscatory income tax that wages and salaries are plagued with. In many other ways, your position is much more flexible. You can sell your business if you want to, should that become desirable. You can borrow money on it. Many times you can lease it and still keep it. Or you can will it to your children, or anybody else for that matter, if you should so desire. Many successful businessmen have sold their business to some huge corporation for millions. They have then been given the management of it at a handsome salary. However, I don't particularly recommend this, since the buying company is probably in the hands of Jews, and the white race loses again. Many people are, of course, afraid to start a business because they feel that there is too much risk involved. This is not good thinking. After all, everything is a risk. To live at all is a risk. When you take a job with some big company, you certainly are involved in the risk of losing that job. If you start in business when you are still in your early 20s, or even under 20, and start with very little, you cannot be hurt too much in the trials and errors that accompany the early founding of a business. Even if you go broke, you haven't lost too much, because you probably didn't have too much to start with, and you're still young. Many of the most successful businesses have been established after the founder learned from the experience of going broke in one or more unsuccessful enterprises. But in most cases, once you have the business established, the chances are that you will not only be able to keep it, but expand it and perhaps become tremendously wealthy. A common fallacy, which persists even to this day, is that most businesses were very vulnerable and went broke during the Depression. This just isn't so. The first thing the businesses did was to lay off many of their employees. In some cases, small businesses let all their employees go, but they stayed and ran the business. When I look back to the small country town back in Saskatchewan during the Depression, I was a teenager. I remember that practically none of the small businesses in that town went broke. There were two grocery stores there, and they both stayed in business. They didn't keep any outside employees, but they had the whole family working the store and continued in business as usual. I remember that a machinery dealer that was in business before the Depression kept right on going. He didn't need any employees, but he kept his business and ran it himself. I furthermore remember a small gas and oil business that was in existence before the Depression, and it kept right on going and never faltered. And so it was with most of the other small businesses that were there. They all stayed in there and kept on going, although some of them with somewhat reduced profits. Nevertheless, since everything else that they had to buy also cost less, they were in many ways no worse off than they were before. However, men that had jobs before the Depression and lost them were much worse off and had a miserable time finding work to keep their families in groceries. My dad, who was a wheat farmer at that time, managed to keep his family in groceries during the Depression. We had little or no money, but we had plenty to eat, living off our own beef, hogs, chickens, vegetables, etc. We ate well. Somehow, he managed to hang on to the farm throughout the Depression, and before he died, turned the farm over to my oldest brother. Despite the fact that he had only come to Canada a short 3 years before the Depression struck, he managed to build up a thriving farm. In fact, was running 3 farms by 1929. When the Depression did come, he managed to hang on, having a home for his family, employment for his family, and plenty to eat for his family. Being a farmer, he too had a business of his own to rely on. In conclusion, it is my experience that those people that have had a business of their own were not only better off during the Depression than were the employees, but when the post-war expansion came along, they were in an excellent position to take advantage of it, to expand and become a large and thriving business. Many of those who before the war were only in shoestring operations expanded into huge multi-million dollar corporations after the war. In any case, it is my observation and conclusion that we need a lot more white Gentiles going into business for themselves, to acquire control of the businesses, to acquire land and real estate, and drive the Jew from this field in which he has had a monopoly for too long. If we furthermore practice racial loyalty amongst ourselves, if we help promote business preferences amongst our white racial brothers to the exclusion of all Jews, we would, without a doubt, soon drive these parasites from the field. It should be our determined objective to do just that, as one of the many phases of the white man's drive to throw the Jew from off our back and again gain control of our own business, our own destiny, and our own government.